Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Throwback, where I tell the story of the strangest high school job I ever had. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi, welcome to episode 177. Hi, Laura. How you doing?
Hi, Shauna. I'm good.
Good. Why don't you kick us off with your check-in for the week?
Sure. Actually, I was going to wait until Augie stopped stomping down the stairs, but it actually kind of ties in with this week's check-in.
Okay.
So my check-in is that Augie, who's 2 years and 9 months, according to my notes, is like suddenly into dancing, which is really fun.
That's so cute.
It is. I feel like, you know, on the internet, you see all these videos of really young toddlers who are dancing or even babies, infants dancing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Augie did that maybe once or twice, but was never really into it. But all of a sudden, and I'm pretty sure it's because of school, he's like suddenly into wanting to dance to the music. And he does the like... He basically does the Elaine, you know?
Like, yeah, the most awkward dance moves ever.
Yes, he like sticks his elbows out at alternating angles and like his knees jerk around. But it's the cutest thing. And so he's like asking for dance parties and wanting to like turn on music and dance. And if he hears music just out and about, he starts like wiggling around. It's adorable.
Oh, that's so cute. And of course, I'm such a mom because I'm like, ooh, good exercise for the kids. That'll wear them out.
Yeah. Well, I'm not too concerned about him getting exercise because the other part of my check-in for him is about how we are going to my gym now 3 days a week.
Oh my gosh, 3 days a week. That's exciting.
Well, it's an unlimited package, and I am taking that to heart. I'm like, unlimited? I will use this. Like,
yeah.
I think he'd be going 5 days if he wasn't in school Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Uh-huh.
But we go to classes Mondays and Wednesdays, and then to open play on Fridays. And on Mondays, Eliza generally takes him, and then Wednesdays I take him, and then Corey usually takes him on a Friday. So it all works out. It's kind of like fun to each have our own time with him. And he is just like a maniac when he's there, just running around, crashing into things, just really going like full speed the whole time. But the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I've noticed that at the same time he started to like be interested in dancing and groove into the music, he's also started participating in like the circle time part of the class more. Like the way that my gym works is like at the beginning, everyone gets around in a circle and they like do little warm ups and teach one skill and do a little dance. And then they go off and play. And there's like stations you can go to where they have like specific skills or like fun activities for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And the first, I don't know, month we were going, he just would not participate in circle time, like at all. He spent the whole time trying to run off to go in the ball pit or squirming in my lap. If I try to like put his arms out to do the little exercises, he'd like pull them back in. Like he wanted nothing to do with circle time, Shauna.
Okay. Yeah. But he's changed now?
Something changed. I don't know what, but suddenly he's into circle time. And so at the beginning of my gym, they let them run around for a couple minutes and then they're like, okay, time to do circle time. And they play like the hello song. And the minute Coach Tim said, time to get to circle time, he like ran over to the circle and sat down and he still wanted to be on my lap, but he put his arms out to do the seesaw and like do all the little exercises. It was just so like heartwarming to see. And it made me feel like, oh my gosh, maybe he is learning things, you know, like
he's yeah.
Because I feel like I've never been concerned about his intellectual capacity, if you will. Like, I've never been like, uh-oh, like, he's, you know, going to fall behind in things. He's always been precocious with things like language and whatnot. But I have been concerned about his, like, participation in activities and listening to adults' skills. Like, seriously concerned about them. So
right.
This has definitely relieved me a little bit this week because I'm seeing that he's maturing a little. And that's really exciting for me.
Yeah, that's super exciting. And it's probably partly due to him being more familiar with what's going on. And like, he probably feels confident now because they do similar things every time, at least in my experience at my gym. It's kind of like similar stretches. You know, you say your name, then you do similar stretches, and it's all in the same order. And I think that really builds the kids' confidence to know what's coming, and they can, you know, they can do those things and not fear like what's coming next or feel nervous about it, and really have some confidence. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So the combo of preschool and music and my gym has just been helping him blossom, which is really fun to watch.
Awesome.
And the baby is still 8 months old and doing great. And there's not much to report there other than he's just pulling up to stand all the time like he was last week. What I wanted to talk about this week is something that I'm doing that I think is pretty exciting and interesting, which is I have decided to apply to be a donor for the UC San Diego Human Milk Bank.
Oh, that sounds cool. What does that entail? And what is that milk bank? I'm not familiar with it at all.
So UC San Diego, which is a very large university in San Diego, which is about 2 hours south of us, has a human milk bank, which is one of only two like official human milk banks in California that I know of, at least, that's like licensed by whatever licensing organization licenses them. I'm not sure. But it's cool because it's attached to the university, and it not only provides breast milk for like NICU babies and medically fragile babies and also like adoptive babies. It's also doing research on breast milk, which isn't being done in a lot of places. Like, you know, what chemical properties does breast milk have? How is it actually fight diseases? All that stuff. Like, I don't actually know exactly what they're doing, but they have like a research arm and a donation arm. So that's really cool. So so what milk banks do is they like take donors' milk and they usually like homogenize it and then like pasteurize it usually and give it back to like NICU babies, right?
Okay.
What's really interesting about this milk bank is that they test every sample that comes in for like fat and calorie content, like fat, carbohydrates, etc. In the breast milk. And they actually make like a perfect blend of slightly higher calorie breast milk for the NICU babies, because NICU babies need like more calories for obvious reasons. They're, you know, they're usually preemies and kids who are sick.
Right.
But they can't like take in as much volume, right? They have like teeny tiny little stomachs. So they are able to like take high fat breast milk and like mix it with other breast milk and make like a perfect human milk product for these kids.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're saying they will take milk from different donors and mix it together?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all mixed together. And that's why they pasteurize it and whatnot. But and maybe homogenize isn't the right word, because homogenization is like a whole thing in the cow milk industry. What I mean is they like mix it and blend it.
Okay.
So I learned all this because I had to do not only an online like questionnaire that was pretty in-depth, but I also had to do a phone interview. And I talked to one of the women who work there, and she told me all this cool stuff about the milk bank. So I'm actually really excited to see if I get approved. I have to like go get a blood test if I get past this round, and like it's a whole thing.
Wow. And what made you decide to check this out and go down this path?
You know, I was sort of like sitting around nursing Sebastian for like the 5,000th time that day. And I was thinking about how lucky I was that I've never had any like supply issues. Cause you know, I feel like I'm on all these moms Facebook groups, and it's like mom after mom who, you know, needs help with supply and is worried about supply. And I was just thinking like, you know, maybe I should do something with these magic boobs of mine. So I just Googled it and thought like, maybe I could donate. And I saw that there was one in San Diego, and so I just sort of on a whim filled out the form, and that's how I got the ball rolling. But so they require 200 to 250 ounces for a donation. So that means I'm going to have to like store up some, because I haven't really been pumping this time.
Oh, right.
Because I haven't had to. But I figure if I add one pump in a day, I could probably get there before Sebastian turns one, because that's the deadline as well.
Oh, okay.
They don't take milk from babies who are older than one. So yeah, I'm getting started on that. And I was thinking that, you know, I'd check in on the process of this and let people know how it goes and sort of talk about my experience as I go forward. And maybe if it works out, we could get someone from the UCSD Milk Bank on the show to talk about
it. That sounds fascinating. Yeah, I would love that. Yeah. And definitely want to hear your check-ins along the way.
Yeah, So that's what's going on with me. But I want to know what's going on with you. How are your girls? And how's that foot?
It hurts so bad.
No.
It really hurts. Luckily, the pain is mostly just on the top of my foot. So like I can walk, like limp around, you know, but I've been holding back on doing things like going on walks, exercising, anything really. So it's kind of a bummer.
That is a bummer. You were supposed to say, it's all better. I'm fine.
Oh, nope. It is the gnarliest bruise I've ever seen. The doctor, after she found out it wasn't broken, she's like, well, I guess it's just a severe contusion. It's like a severe contusion. That sounds about right. It does look severe.
Ugh. You know I want to see a picture of it.
Yeah, I'll have to send that to you for sure. I know you like injury pictures, whereas I don't.
That makes me sound really like dark. I don't like injury pictures. I like medical pictures.
Yeah, medical. That's what we'll call it. Medical. Otherwise, we are good. We're fine. The big thing this week is, well, rewind to a couple weeks ago when I was like, oh, I tried time out with CC and it was like a bust, right?
Yeah. She thought it was a fun activity.
Yes. She's like, I love time out. this week, I tried a different strategy with getting my kids to cooperate. And so I introduced reward charts to them completely spontaneously because I was just like sick of them not listening to me. The big problem is before dinner. Well, there's always big problems, but especially big problem is before dinner. While I'm making dinner, they get to play on their iPads or little games. And then when it's dinner time, it's like, okay, dinner time, put your pad away. And that just, it's so hard, but I love having the time to focus on cooking dinner while they're on the pad. So I don't really want to give it up, but I also wanted to ease this transition of like turning off the games and one more minute. I just need one more minute and crying. And oh my gosh, it was so
transitions.
Annoying.
Transitions are so hard.
They're like, really hard.
It blows my mind because like for us, it's like, I don't want to get in the bath. No more bath. Set a timer. Set a timer. And then like you finally get him in the bath and then it's like, okay, time to get out of the bath. I don't want to get out of the bath. Set a timer. You're like, dude. So it's like, it's literally just the transition. It's not about the thing, right? It's like about having to switch to another thing.
Yes. Having to stop one thing that they're engaged with and move on to another. It's a nightmare.
Yes. So, okay, how does a reward sticker chart help with this?
And so I was at the end of my rope one night and I said, whoever turns off their pad right away with no argument and comes to the dinner table immediately gets a star. And they're like, huh? And I just said it. I mean, I didn't have a chart. I had nothing. I was just like, you get a star. And they're like, okay. And they turned them off immediately and ran over to the table. And I was like, oh, great job. You guys each get a star. And so I go and find some yellow craft paper and some scissors and I draw stars and I cut them out because it's not like I have any star stickers. Mm-hmm. I have nothing. And I get some cardstock and I start drawing up a chart and I'm just making it up as I go along and they're all excited and they're like, oh my gosh, I get a star. And so I was like, okay, yes, here's the thing. Once you earn 10 stars for good behavior, you get, I'm like, well, I need a reward. Mm-hmm. I don't want to really buy them anything. So what do I do? And I'm like, triple chocolate chip cookies. And just like set it. I'll make you triple chocolate chip cookies. And they're like, yes, that's awesome. And I was like, oh my God, I am like killing this mom thing right now. I failed miserably with timeout last week, but this is working. Could not believe it. And so I just handmade these charts and Elle, of course, wanted to decorate hers. So hers is all made up in the way she wants it. And they're all just janky, like hand-drawn stars that I individually cut out of paper and put like double stick tape on the back. And every time they turn off the game and come right away to dinner table, for sure, they get a star. And throughout the day, too, it's turned out like, you know, if they get dressed quickly to leave somewhere, I'll be like, oh, you get a star. And so, yeah, so far, so good. I'm really enjoying this new system.
So how many batches of triple chocolate chip cookies are you going to have to make this week? Seems like they're racking up the stars pretty quickly.
Not really, because they don't have great behavior all the time. And, you know, they will be like, can I have a star for this? Can I have a star for that? And I'll be like, no. Like, I want to see your good behavior. You don't get a star for every good behavior. Like, you know, I'll kind of surprise you with a star. So they're earning maybe like one or two a day. We started at the beginning of the week and Elle is very close to getting 10. She's got like 8 or 9. So I think it'll be like maybe once a week or so. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe once a week, and I'm going to switch it up too because I don't want them to always be rewarded with food. And
yeah,
so I was like, maybe next week it'll be they get a little extra TV time in the morning, you know, before school. Mm-hmm. That's like a coveted thing. If Elle gets to watch a little TV before she goes to school, she is very motivated by that. So I think I might use that for next week.
Interesting. So here's a question. What happens if Elle gets the stars, but Cece doesn't? Does Cece not get a chocolate chip cookie?
Well, I'm going to make a batch of them. So I'm sure everyone will get them and enjoy them. But I'll make another batch special for her when the time comes or something like that. I got to cross that bridge when I get to it. But for now, I'm just like so delighted that I'm getting some cooperation in this house. It's amazing.
Yeah, I feel that. It's just like... so hard sometimes.
So hard.
Everything has to be a struggle. Like every little thing. Like time for dinner. No, two more minutes. My favorite thing though is when he like negotiates himself down. He'll be like, I just want 5 more minutes. And we'll be like, no, honey, it's time for dinner right now. Okay, 1 more minute. And we're like, okay.
Like, fine. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there are just so many struggles. And, you know, the good thing about this reward chart, too, is like now I have something to take away, too. Mm. Like if there's not cooperating, it's like, OK, I need you to come over here now to brush your teeth or I need to take a star away. Like that's going to be the consequence. It's like, ooh, don't want to lose a star and boogie in. So I don't know. I have no idea if I'm doing this whole thing right or wrong because I just made it up. I never did anything like this really with Elle when she was younger. It's just I'm having a lot more problems now that she's older and I've got a second kid and just feels like chaos a lot.
I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I feel like we're almost there with Sebastian. Like he has his own mind about what he wants to do now. And it's just like, oh, no, where did my little pliable baby go? Now I have 2 strong-willed children.
Welcome to my world.
Just like on Arrested Development where it's like, I've made a terrible mistake.
Well, can't take it back now.
I wouldn't want to. They're wonderful.
Of course. I know. They are. For all of the defiance and like lack of cooperation that happens, they are wonderful and amazing. And they make me laugh probably more than they make me clench my teeth. So
that's
I love them. Love them. Anyway, so that's me this week. Should we move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Laura, I don't know about you, but I feel like my skin has gone through lots of changes since pregnancy and parenthood.
Oh, for sure. Our skin goes through a lot during different stages of life, whether that's melasma, dry skin, hormonal acne, or what I like to call too exhausted at the end of the day to do a skincare routine skin.
I hear ya. Well, luckily, our sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple skincare routine that even sleep-deprived parents can handle.
I've been using the topical face and eye creams, and not only is it an easy routine, it makes my skin feel healthy and refreshed.
You have been rocking that glowy look lately.
Aw, thank you. Founded by an all-woman team of scientists, OneSkin has developed a proprietary peptide called OS1 that's scientifically validated to improve the health of your skin beneath the surface.
Not only that, their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety for use at any stage in life.
For a limited time, you can try OneSkin for 15% off using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and as a busy mom, I admit I sometimes forget to prioritize my mental health. But when I do, I feel so much better. And I've realized that a big part of my mental health is finding support through my community.
Absolutely. It's easy to feel stuck in my routine or cancel plans when leaving the house and the kids feels overwhelming. But I've discovered I can find community
Allo
and support
Moves
for my mental health.
Allo Moves is the
award-winning
on-demand streaming wellness platform app that has mindfulness, self-care, workouts, and more to help boost your mental and physical well-being.
When I make time for movement and mindfulness, even if it's just for a few minutes, it has such a positive impact on my day. And I love that I can connect with other users in the Allo Moves community to support and encourage each other.
Whether I'm taking a class with a friend in person or connecting with another member in the community comments, Allo Moves really brings people together. We're all just trying to find ourselves because we're all in it together.
With over 100 new classes every month, Allo Moves keeps me motivated and supported. I absolutely love the mindfulness classes. Taking time to focus on my breath and body in the present moment does so much for my well-being all day.
And when I need an energy pick-me-up before diving into the day, I love doing a 15-minute Pilates class to focus my mind and get my blood pumping.
Find yourself together when you join Allo Moves. Join the community on allomoves.com today and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial, plus enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com code BFP for 30-day free trial, plus 20% off an annual membership. allomoves.com code BFP.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes I just have a week, you know, where work and parenting and keeping up with the house all feels so overwhelming, and I just need to vent about it and get it off my chest. It's amazing how just expressing it out loud can relieve a lot of tension that has built up. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have worked through many difficult situations in therapy. It's such a great way to get perspective on your experience and learn techniques to help you cope in the moment when things get tough. If you're feeling overwhelmed, down, or stressed and would like to talk to a therapist, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, which means no driving across town to appointments, and you can easily make it work with your schedule. To get started, just fill out a quick questionnaire and you'll get matched with a therapist. If it doesn't feel like a perfect fit, you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/BFP.
Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is Throwback Part 2, Shauna's Revenge.
Yes.
I don't know. I have no idea what your story is about or what you're going to talk about, but I can't wait to hear it because I love these throwback stories, and I know our listeners want to find out what you're going to tell us about today. So take it away, Shauna.
Okay. All right. So let's rewind back to the 90s, as we usually do with my stories. This, I believe, I don't remember the exact year, but I think it was like 1995. I think it was the summer before my senior year of high school. So I would have just turned 17. And I had a part-time job at a Garcia's Mexican restaurant. I was a hostess, and I really liked that job. It was really fun. But it only paid me $4.50 an hour. So
oh,
I was not raking in the big bucks with this job. And
was that because you like got tips or something? Or was that just the minimum wage back then?
That was the minimum wage.
Jesus.
I know. The waiters in the restaurant, because I went on to be a waiter, made $2.13 an hour, but they got tips on top of it. It was crazy. It was,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It was a wild system. So I was not raking in the big bucks, but there was a part of me that really, really wanted to. I was like, I just want more money. Like, this is the summer to do it. I really had my heart set on getting a TV VCR combo. Mm-hmm. You know, you remember those from back in the day?
Yeah, they were awesome. I had one. You just like take your VHS, you stick it right in. You don't have to deal with like a really ugly separate machine. It was beautiful. Wonderful.
Yes. Yes. It was very slim and sleek. And what I really loved about it is I heard that you could program them to record shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I had recently gotten addicted to Days of Our Lives, the soap opera. I loved it. And I wanted to be able to record the episodes while I was at school, like during senior year, like when I went back to school. And I was really a good girl, a goody two shoes, very smart achiever. So I was really like needed the instruction and love and lust that was to be had by these daytime soap operas. And I was really into like the romance of Beau and Hope and all that jazz. And so I really, really, really wanted this TV VCR combo.
So the only reason I have any clue who Beau and Hope are is because when I worked at NBC.com, like what, over 10 years ago, I was in charge of doing the daily recaps for Days of Our Lives. I didn't have to write them. I just had to like take screen caps of every episode and like stick them on the website. And so like I got the weirdest sense of like who all these characters were because I would read like a paragraph recap or like one line and be like, find a picture of Beau and Hope hugging each other or whatever. And I'd be like, okay. And I'd like have to scan through. So,
yes. Well, the drama was so good. You know, someone was always dying and then coming back to life. And I mean, it was just, I loved it. The drama was great. And yeah, so this was really motivating me to make more money this summer. And so I took to the local newspaper, the Arizona Republic, because, you know, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. And this is how you looked for jobs back in the old days. You know, I opened up a newspaper and they had like the job listings. And I was going through and circling things that sounded good. And this one particular ad really caught my eye. It was like up to $500 a week. Paid training, fun environment, sales, something with sales. I mean, that was a throwaway for me. I was just hooked on $500 a week, paid training, fun environment. Like, this is for me.
$500 a week, that would take you over 100 hours at your current job to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I had stars in my eyes about this opportunity. I was really excited. And I applied, however you apply, maybe I called or something, and I secured myself an interview. And so I was really excited. I showed up at this office space that was part of a strip mall in Central Phoenix. And I go in and I meet with this dude, Jonathan, and he's like in his 30s. He's like somewhat good looking, you know, like kind of charming. And he was just beguiling me with ideas of mountains of money and exciting opportunities and like a fun, flexible work environment. And I bought into it big time. I was really excited. I was like, okay, this is a sales job. Like, what will I be selling? And he's like, welcome to the team of Kirby vacuum cleaners. You are our new door-to-door salesperson. I was like, take that, Garcias. I'm going to make so much money selling vacuums.
Vacuum cleaners. Amazing. Okay.
Oh my God. I was so excited. I went into work at Garcia's and I told my manager I would be quitting because of my new exciting opportunity at Kirby. And the manager just like looked at me like, are you fucking kidding me? Vacuum sales? It's like, whatever. Okay, bye.
He clearly didn't hear the pitch.
Right? Exactly. So I pieced out of Garcia's and I was on to bigger and better things. So I came in for my first day of training at like 8 a.m. in this strip mall. And I was wearing like my best JCPenney skirt suit, which I had skirt suits at the time because I was on the speech and debate team. And, you know, we went to tournaments and I had to dress up and stuff. So I thought this would like be my most impressive outfit. And of course, I had pantyhose because this was the 90s.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't go anywhere without pantyhose in the 90s if you were dressing up, that is.
Right. Yeah. And mind you, this is the summer in Phoenix, so it's like 115 degrees every day.
Oh, God. I can't imagine anything worse. Oh, my God.
So gross. So gross. And so I go in and I see my thrilling new work environment is this kind of open office space. And there's like a couple of Mylar balloons floating half in the air on one side, like a box of donuts. And Jonathan is rounding up all of these men in button-up shirts and ties to gather around. I was the only woman and the youngest, right? I'm like 17. And we gather around. He's like, all right, we're going to start the day with our Kirby song. And they all...
It's like my gym. Hi, hi, how do you do? Welcome to Kirby. We're here to sell vacuum cleaners.
Pretty much. Here it is. Here it is. They all start singing and they're very enthusiastic about it. We'll be coming with a Kirby when we come. Woohoo. Oh, no. They'll be trading in their Hoover when they come. Woohoo. We'll be coming with our Kirby. They'll be trading in their Hoover. We'll be coming with a Kirby when we come. Woohoo.
Wow. Wow.
Exactly. I had stars in my eyes about this job, but that gave me pause.
You think?
I was just like, wow, that a bunch of men in slacks enthusiastically singing to the tune of She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain about Kirby's was a bit much. Anyway, they gave me like a handbook of the Kirby songs and chants to memorize. I'm like, okay, got it. And my first thing to do was to learn how to assemble and demonstrate the Kirby vacuum. So Jonathan showed me how to put this thing all together. It was a behemoth. I mean, the vacuum was humongous and heavy and had so much sucking power. It sucked so hard it could like pick up a bowling ball. One part of the demonstration was to vacuum up like a part of a mattress and see like how much dead skin and dead, like, I don't know, mites came out of the mattress. And like on the demonstration vacuum, there was like a filter that you could pull out and like show, you know, the potential customer. And so I learned about this and I was like, he showed me how much crap came out of a mattress and showed me on this filter. And I was like, oh my God, this vacuum is fucking amazing. I loved it. The fact that it could suck so hard, like to pick up a bowling ball, I was sold. I loved it. In my memory, this thing was about $1,000. It was very expensive. Very expensive.
I mean, that's like a Dyson. That's more than a Dyson now.
Yeah, exactly. It was really, really pricey. So I learned how to demonstrate it. I felt really good doing it. I was, like I said, I was on the speech team. So I was really good at public speaking. Like, I just did not think I was going to have a problem with this sales aspect and like talking to people about selling a vacuum cleaner. But he was like, okay, what I need you to do is take this kit home with you. Practice the demonstration on your friends and family. Like, that should have been a red flag. It wasn't. I was like, perfect. My family is always willing to indulge my like theatrical endeavors. So this is great. I'll get a chance to practice this thing. So I go home and I shocked and disgusted my mom with like showing her how much crap I pulled out of her mattress. I dazzled my Uncle Rocky by like throwing sand on his carpet in his apartment and then just like sucking it up. That was the best. I loved it. Like throwing sand in someone's house and they were like, and then I'd be like, don't worry. And I would suck it up. Oh, so ridiculous.
Wait, Shauna, I am finally connecting something we talked about a couple weeks ago to now.
What?
You love vacuuming. You said it on the show.
That's right.
Vacuuming is like a hobby of yours. And I said I hate it, but I like mopping. And we were like going to trade services.
Oh my God, you're right.
Shauna, is this your vacuuming origin story?
This is my vacuuming origins. Well, I'll let you be the judge of that. You'll see how this story goes.
Okay, I'm going to stop interrupting. Keep going.
But I really love the vacuum. My grandpa's girlfriend, Eileen, I went to her house in Sun City and I was like vacuuming her drapes because this thing has all kinds of attachments, right? You can clean everything with it, not just floors. So I'm like cleaning drapes and my family, they were like, Shauna, you're a natural at this. You're so good at this. They loved the vacuum. I loved the vacuum, but obviously no one wanted to spend a grand on a vacuum cleaner. So when I got to the part of the spiel where I was like, this can be yours for just $1,000, they all kind of scoffed and like, aha, whatever. And I had been instructed by Jonathan to call him when I got to this point in my demonstration and tell him what my family said. And so I had to get on the phone with him and be like, I'm sorry, my family, they don't want to spend $1,000 on a vacuum. So they said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
He's like, hold up, tell them I'll give it to them for $950. And I'm like, but they really don't want that vacuum. He's like, do it. And so I'd have to like hang up, go back and like give him another negotiation, blah, 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 until like he would get on the phone with them. and like tried to talk them into getting the vacuum and closing the deal. So he was obviously a bit aggressive. And needless to say, I sold zero vacuums to my friends and family.
I feel like if your friends and family were in a position to buy a $1,000 vacuum, you wouldn't be in a position of making $4 an hour. The Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He didn't know his audience. So a week of this, my training, my practicing on my family, I was working really hard at this. I was great at the demonstration. Shit at following through and closing the deal, obviously. But Jonathan told me I was ready to go out in the field. So he paired me up with his senior salesman, who was like this 27-year-old guy named Tyler, who acted super cool. He drove a red convertible Firebird. He was like the creme de la creme of Kirby sales. And he looked like really sharp. He had a Macy's suit on instead of like a JCPenney suit. He had perfectly combed hair. And he was pretty cute, you know, very, very confident. And he's like, let's go. And we threw the Kirby in the back seat and headed off to make our fortune. And not only was I getting paid for my hourly training, I was also going to make commission on whatever Tyler and I sold that week. So that's the thing about this. You know, it's I would get commission on sales. Like that's where the big bucks would come in.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like TV, VCR, here I come, baby.
Meanwhile, Days of Our Lives is just happening and you don't know what's happening. Like, what is happening to Bo and Hope?
I was missing out on so much. I had to make this happen. Luckily, Tyler had some warm leads. I guess that was part of it. Like you could call people ahead and try to set up appointments and that would be a warm lead. So he had a few of those and we started going to those. And I was like, that's great. They want us in their home. It's like a surefire sale. So we head over to West Phoenix and we pull into this trailer park and we meet Rosemary. She's like an 80-year-old woman living in this tiny cluttered motorhome. And she did not care about the vacuum at all. She was literally like, will you guys show me how that works on my drapes? Oh, will you show me how that works on my carpet? And like, eventually I'm like, oh, she's just trying to get us to clean her stuff, right?
That's genius. Rosemary is a genius.
It is. It's genius. Mm-hmm. It probably wasn't the first time she'd done something like that. We get out of there and Tyler's like pissed, right? He's like, oh, so typical. Like, some people just get these demonstrations because they want their house clean. So he's already on edge. And then we run out of warm leads and he hasn't sold a vacuum yet, right? The top seller hasn't sold a vacuum. And so we had to start going door to door in Phoenix, 115 degrees, me and my pantyhose. And we start knocking on doors and he tries to get us into a home to give a demonstration. And we finally get into this house. It's like a, I don't know, a stay-at-home mom or something. So he like strong-armed his way into this home of this stay-at-home mom or whatever. And I give my demonstration and I'm really, really good at it. But then I had to tell her the price and, you know, that gosh darn price. Like she just didn't want to do that. And so I had to go through the rigmarole with calling Jonathan and then Tyler took over because he, you know, he thought he could close the deal and he just was getting nowhere with this woman. And then he finally goes, you know what, Shauna, you go outside. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. He's like, go stand outside. And I go stand on the porch and he closes the door and he goes in without me. So I'm trying to like listen, look in, see what is going on in there, but I couldn't figure anything out. And like 15 minutes later, he comes out and he's like, sold it. And I was like, huh? Yay? I don't know. I was so confused about what just happened. Like he had just left the demonstration vacuum in there with her. Like he didn't bring it back out. I don't know. It was really weird. I'm like, what happened? He wouldn't tell me anything at all. He just kept saying like, got our commission. And I was like, all right. So we went and celebrated at Burger King. We got Whoppers and had lunch together. And it was super weird.
That is super weird.
Yeah. But in my mind, I'm like, cool. I get like that commission because that was the deal. Like I would get commission whatever he sold that day and plus all my paid training. So by the end of the week, the heat and the door-to-door crap just wore me out. And I didn't have a lot of stamina as a young person anyway. And and I wanted to quit the job. Well, I really wasn't into it. I definitely couldn't get into those songs. So
that was the breaking point, really, for you.
It really
not
was.
The lugging a heavy vacuum around in Phoenix heat.
Yeah, going into strangers' homes. Oh, it's just so weird. Yeah, so it all wore me out, and I was like missing handing out menus and like flirting with the cute bartender at Garcia's. So I just wanted to be done with this. So I decided to take my money and run. I'd worked there 2 long, hard weeks, and I knew I had money coming to me. So I called Jonathan and told him I quit, and he was kind of giving me some attitude about it and stuff. And he told me to come in a few days and return the vacuum and get my check and whatever. And so I returned with my demo vacuum to give it back and pick up my check. And I went into Jonathan's office, and he was like sitting there with his motivational posters all around him. And he looked at me with such disappointment. He shook his head and he was like, "You're making such a huge mistake." And I felt so bad. I know, I hate disappointing people, but like the job just wasn't for me, right? Clearly I wasn't a good fit. I was like 17, a lady going door to door in strangers' houses. It just wasn't for me. You know, I tried it and it wasn't. And I tried to explain it to him the best I could, but he just was not very understanding about it all. He sullenly hand me my envelope with my paycheck in it, and he like shooed me out of his office. I got happy though, because I was like, here's my money, I have my envelope, and I go out to my car to open my envelope and see how much money I made. You know, I'm expecting, I don't know, like $200 or $300, I don't know, maybe more, because who knows what the commission is on the vacuum. So I opened up the envelope and pulled out my check, but I didn't see my name, I didn't see the dollar amount, I didn't see anything. I turned it over. There was nothing on the other side, like literally nothing. And I'm like, was there a mix up, or had Jonathan cut out a piece of blank paper the size of a check, put it in an envelope and given it to me upon my departure? Because that's all there was in there. There was a blank piece of paper the size of a check in the envelope. That's it.
Okay.
I saw red. I was pissed. I went back into the Kirby headquarters and I like slam into his office. I'm like, what is this? And he looked at the blank paper and he smirked and he's like, it's your check. It's the amount of money you earned here.
What?
And I was like, what? I worked here for 2 weeks. You promised paid training. He's like, nah, not if you don't stay with the company. I'm like, you never said that. I didn't sign anything. He's like, exactly. You didn't sign anything. And I'm like, no, that's not right. What about my commission? And he's like, oh my God, please. We sold that vacuum at a loss. Like, I had Tyler send you outside so he could sell the vacuum for $350 so he could actually sell a vacuum in front of you instead of looking like a loser salesman. So there was no commission to be made on that one. And I was like, well, no one ever told me that. And he's like, too bad. Have fun cashing your check. And I was so upset. Like, aside from the money thing, like, I hated conflict. I was a good girl. I never got in fights with people like this. So tears started welling up in my eyes and like my face ached from holding them back. And then like a schoolyard bully, he was like, "Oh, are you going to cry?" And I just could not believe it. I had no idea what to do, like how to handle this man who was supposed to be my boss, my mentor. Like, I spent my whole life respecting authority and never like getting out of line and stuff. But here I am and he's like disrespecting me so much. And so I looked at him and I did not understand how anyone could be so poopy, and I felt really mad, and I was like, "You lying sack of shit," I said. And I'm like, oh my God, did those words just come out of my mouth to him? He's like, "Excuse me?" And I'm like, "You heard me, you fucking lying sack of shit." And I'm like, oh my God, I just dropped the F-bomb. He's like, "Is that the mouth you use to talk to your father?" And I was like, oh, okay, now you're giving me a lesson in manners? Oh, hell no. I was like done being the pathetic little girl in his eyes. My whole body was shaking and I wanted to like strangle him. I was so angry. Yeah.
I want to strangle him right now.
Right? So I told this lying sack of shit where to shove his vacuum, my fake check, and his lame-ass Kirby songs. And I'm like, you and your team can't even sell these piece of shit vacuums. And I like run out of the office and I slam the glass door as hard as I could. And I'm like, fuck you. And he's like, fuck you.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And that was my last moment with Kirby. I went home and I told my parents all about it. I was devastated and humiliated. And, you know, this check thing was just crazy to me. And my dad was so sympathetic. He was like, give me that man's phone number right now. And I was like, oh my God, my dad's going to stand up for me. So he called Jonathan and was like, what are you thinking? How can you do this to her? Blah, blah. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he was really standing up for me. And I was like, I felt so supported and so validated by him doing that. Because, you know, it could have been like, well, you didn't stick with the job. You know, you didn't deserve it. I don't know. There's so many things he could have said. But the fact that he called and like stood up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, on the other end, Jonathan was like, well, OK, maybe I do owe her money. But when she was so angry and stormed out of the office, she broke our glass door. So that needs to be repaired. So let's just call it even.
That asshole. No, you didn't. I mean,
right?
Well, maybe you did. And it's still bad. But like, no,
maybe.
That was... No, no.
I highly doubt it. I mean, I did slam out really hard, but I don't know. It's like an office door. Anyway, you know, my dad wasn't going to fight it. And I guess I didn't really either want to, but I don't know. I was real upset by the whole situation. I went back to Garcia's and I hung my head low like a little puppy to my manager. I'm like, can I have my job back? And he was like, oh, the vacuum sales didn't work out. Big surprise. And he hired me back because he was a really nice guy. And I went back to handing out menus and seating people and flirting with the cute bartender, and just had to work a lot harder and a lot longer to get my TV VCR combo.
Oh my God. That sucks. And I'm so sorry, but it is a good story. So I'm glad you went through it so you could tell us about how shitty those people were to you. But yeah. Anyway, that was an amazing story. And
thank you.
I actually have a really exciting opportunity I wanted to talk to you about.
No!
But let's do it. Let's do it when we take a break, because, you know, I don't think our listeners are ready for this amazing opportunity quite yet.
They can't handle it. All right.
No, but for real, you want to take a break and come back with our BFPs and BFNs?
Let's do it. We are back and we're going to wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, you're up first this time. What do you got?
I got a BFP.
All right.
And it starts with a BFN, actually, which is that Eliza called out sick for 2 days this week.
Uh-oh.
Which... ooh, was, you know, not great. It's fine. She gets sick. Like, everyone gets sick. We give her sick days. She can use them, right? Like, it makes sense. But it is like, that means I have to take care of these children by myself. What are we going to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, we have to take care of our own children by ourselves.
God.
No, someone help us. So we had to come up with activities and stuff to keep our children entertained. And one thing I decided to do this week was take Augie to IKEA.
Ooh, that's exciting.
And that's my BFP. IKEA with a toddler is my BFP.
Did he love it?
Oh my God. Like, love is not strong enough of a word to describe how he felt at IKEA. Let me tell you. Okay, so we're lucky enough that we live 10 minutes from the Burbank IKEA, which happens to be the largest IKEA in North America.
Oh, it's so big. I love it.
It's so big. It's really nice. It's like brand new too. What, like 3 or 4 years old, something like that. And it's awesome. It's a great IKEA. I've used it for its like utilitarian purposes before, which is like I needed flat pack furniture I could spend hours assembling at home. But now I've discovered that it's like a perfect child activity because first you have the cafeteria. So we went and we had lunch at IKEA. We went and we like got him mac and cheese and Swedish meatballs. And it's actually pretty good food for not very much money. We got him like a carton of chocolate milk, and he like drank from the carton of milk for the first time, and that was like very exciting for him.
Oh yeah.
There's also big letters, specifically the letters I, K, E, and A, like everywhere. So for a kid who's learning his alphabet, it's very fun to be like, can you find the letters? And so he's like looking for the letters everywhere. So in this particular IKEA, the cafeteria is on the second floor, and there's these like big windows looking out. And if you look out one set of windows, you can see the like gigantic IKEA sign right outside of the window. So when we got to like our table, Augie was like, The letters! The letters, Mommy! The letters!
Oh,
he's like pointing at them.
So exciting.
And so we just had a great time having lunch there. And then we moseyed on over to the kids section. And for anyone who has never been in IKEA, like, they set up basically like little rooms for you to explore. They're little, like, you know, there's a little room set up for a kindergartner, and then there's a little room set up for a baby, and you can like see all their furniture and stuff sort of in place and help you get inspired. So we went to the kids section, and he was like going from room to room, from thing to thing. There's like stuffed animals, there's art stuff, there's like actual toys, like toy tents and stuff, toy kitchens. They have like three different kinds of toy kitchen, and all the little like armchairs and stuff. And basically he was just in heaven, and it was very hard to leave.
Oh, I bet. And you know, the best part about it is it's free. Well, I guess unless you leave with hundreds of dollars of merchandise.
We left with about like $30 to $40 of merchandise. I needed something. That's like the whole reason I decided to go there. I needed some like little storage bins. So we found those storage bins. And then I like told Augie he could pick out a couple things. And so we ended up coming home with some art supplies. So I got like a big roll of like watercolor paper and watercolors and some stamp pens. They have like stamp pens, which was very exciting for him. And yeah, it was a blast. Like, I had fun. He had fun. It was just a great time.
That's
and it killed
so cool.
like 2.5 hours.
Yes. And it's indoor air conditioned, so you can go on a hot day.
True, true. And, you know, pandemic, it was one of those things that I definitely would have been avoiding before vaccines and before he had gotten COVID and has a little bit of natural immunity. But now I'm just like, let's go. Let's hit up IKEA.
Fun.
But go to IKEA if you're looking for some way to kill some time with kids.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I'm keeping it in my back pocket for hard times. Like, you could go to Disneyland. It's super expensive. Or you could go to IKEA.
Exactly. You know?
Do you want to see a picture of him in IKEA?
Yeah, yeah.
And meanwhile, by the way, Sebastian was home with Corey napping, I think, most of the time. So we do a divide and conquer tactic most of the time.
Yes, that's smart.
Okay, so here is a photo of our lunch.
Aw, oh, I love those meatballs. So good. We's got a big plate of mac and cheese there.
Yep. I ate most of it, to be honest. And here is a photo of him settling in for the long haul in a big armchair.
He kind of looks like a little old man in an armchair, just like all slunched down, relaxing. Awesome.
And another picture of him wrapped up in a fake fur rug.
Yeah. Oh my God. I would have definitely want to come home with that. You know me. I love my shag furry rugs.
Yes. They're very affordable. And then I posted this to the internet and someone commented, like, I made a joke about it looking like Game of Thrones. And someone sent me an article that apparently the Game of Thrones costumers actually used rugs from IKEA in a lot of the like Northerners outfits, like
what?
Costumes.
No yeah. way. That's so smart.
So really smart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was it. That's my BFP. IKEA with children. Very fun.
Awesome. Love it.
Okay, so that was mine. What about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Yes. It is baby corn.
Baby corn?
Baby corn.
Oh, baby corn. It took me a second. I was like, what is this baby corn? But now I'm imagining the scene from Big where he eats it like a little corn on the cob.
Yes, that. The thing that's in like every Sizzler salad bar and gets ignored by most people, right? Those
oh
tiny
my God,
little...
I forgot about baby corn. Like, you just reminded me that it exists at all, and it was my favorite when I was a kid.
Oh my God, we'll get ye to Trader Joe's because they are selling it in the fresh vegetable section now. I just was shopping.
Really?
Yes, I was shopping the other day. And I sometimes look for different veggies to try to excite the kids. And I saw this little bag of all these little baby corns. And I was like, what? And I got it. And Cece loves them. Like, the second I got home, she was like, baby corns? Baby corns? I want some baby corns. And I was like, okay, I guess. I mean, I think you're supposed to cook them. But she just like grabbed them raw and she just gnaws on them. When she goes to the refrigerator to look for a snack, she like opens up the produce drawer and was like, baby corn? And it's a big hit.
Oh my God, Cece, I love her. Like, She looks for baby corn and raw onion.
The onion phase is over. It's all about baby corn right now.
Onion so last month.
So last month. So it's my BFP because it's a fun thing to eat. Elle is okay on it. I don't think she's not as excited as Cece. And I like it too, actually. It does. It reminds me of like childhood and going to like salad buffets, salad bars, and, you know, getting one or two on the side. So I love it. Go to Trader Joe's and get some baby corns.
So I didn't even know. So I'm used to them in a can, right? Or
yeah.
Right? The, like mm-hmm. like pickled or something.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know you could buy them fresh. Are they just like literally just baby corns, like corn they pick early?
I don't know. I don't know. Let me see. Hold on a second. I'm going to
okay.
ask. I'm going to ask the internet. What is baby corn? It's taken from corn harvested early while the stalks are still small and immature. Yep.
Wow.
It's all right. Literally a baby corn.
I'm going to go to Trader Joe's and try to find this because I want to experience this. And, you know, even if I can't find it, because sometimes that happens, they have things for like a week and then you can't get them.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to buy a can of baby corn because I love that shit and I have forgotten all about it.
Oh, well, I'm so glad I talked about it this week. Yay.
Me too. That's my second BFP.
The knowledge that baby corn exists.
Like, you got to hear it in real time, me remembering that
yes.
it exists.
It was,
yes.
That was a moment.
You heard it here first.
All right. Well, you go get your baby corn. I think we need to wrap up this show.
All right.
Listeners, we want to hear your throwback stories. Do you have something from childhood that is very, very memorable that you want to share with us? Send us a message. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join, and make sure you answer those two membership questions. They're really short. They're really easy. Just answer them so we know you're not a robot. And we will send you straight through to all the amazing conversations we're having in there.
If you love our show, please rate us and review us wherever you listen to podcasts and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.